This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
David Bowie is on Joy 94.9.
Bowie.
Don't mess with the bad girls. That's right. It's second breakfast here on Joy 94.9. 7 minutes past 10. It's 11 degrees. It's heading to 13. It's incredible here in Melbourne. It's actually the sun's out. And speaking of out and about, we've got one of the fabulous guests who are part of the symposium for the stardom and celebrity of David Bowie here. I'm Sonia, in case I didn't say that before, and I am joined here by Leah Cardos. Welcome.
Hi, Sonia.
Hi. Now, you've had a nice brisk walk up Bourke Street.
Mm-hmm.
Never been to Melbourne before.
No, oh, I thought that it was going to be just a normal sized street, so I thought I'll give it plenty of time, and I was hoofing it down. It was nice. It was refreshing. It woke me up.
Yeah, it's pretty nice out there, actually. For a winter morning. Now, of course, David Bowie opens today officially. We've all had a bit of a sneak peek, the lucky ones of us, and we're pretty excited. But tell us about yourself and what's led you all the way down under. Well, you actually are from here originally.
I am. You can't tell from my voice, but I'm from Brisbane.
Okay.
Yeah. I seem to have lost my accent, which is really sad because I love the Brisbane accent.
How is it different?
It just sounds charmingly stupid. It's kind of really broad and kind of like that, and I wish I spoke like that still.
So you've been away a while then?
Been in England for 11 years.
Okay.
So, yeah. I'm passing as 100% British at the moment. No one's clocked that I'm Australian except for you so far.
Well, that's only because someone sent me your bio or something, or I found it somewhere.
Yeah.
Cool. What's your background and what are you doing?
Right. Well, I'm a musician, so essentially that means a portfolio career. So I do a bit of everything. So I compose and I produce music, but I'm also a lecturer and a musicologist, and that's why here. So I'm sort of at the symposium to talk about David Bowie's music and his music creativities and represent David the musician, you know, be one of the people there talking about his music and not just his eyes or his hair or his fashion.
Not the fan stuff so much.
Representing music studies, because there is a lot of media studies, cultural fan studies representation at the symposium. So, and I enjoy defending his music. So
defend it, you find you have to do that, do you?
Sometimes I do, partly because, you know, in his career he's often said, I'm not a musician, I'm a film director, or, you know, like Brian Eno said in the 70s, I'm a non-musician. And because his visual thing is so staggeringly fascinating, a lot of the time, you know, discourse tends to sort of sideline the music and how good it is, and his talent as a songwriter and his contribution to culture in that regard. And so I've been sort of developing some research and publishing a few bits and pieces about his music and sort of looking at that, you know. And it's nice sort of being attached to the David Bowie Is exhibition, because you can sort of say David Bowie is ... all the things that he is. And so it's nice to be able to stand up there at the symposium and say, well, he's a musician, a songwriter, composer, producer, performer, interpreter, fantastic musician. So
yeah, because it is something that it's not saying it's lacking, but it is something that maybe that's not the thing that people think about. They think about the persona and being an alien and all of that, you know, the Ziggy Stardust and the Finn White Duke and all that, but not actually behind that, the calculated or the deliberate use of music. And does he read music? I guess I've never asked that.
I think he does.
You think he does?
And I think he's a much more sophisticated musician than he lets on.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at his use of harmony, the way he puts chords together, the compositions for, you know, a popular song that he's done on the piano, like Life on Mars, it's, you know, the harmony is quite complex if you sort of analyse it. And, you know, he plays saxophone solos in Phrygian mode, you know, on Black Tie, Black Tie, White Noise.
That was his first instrument, wasn't it, the saxophone?
You know, I think his music literacy and his musicality is very well developed. But, you know, he's just so interesting in so many many areas. So it makes him a fascinating artist.
Yeah, he truly is. Well, one of the talks and groups of talks are called Strange Fascinations. So I don't know if you're involved in that, but you're certainly appearing three times, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're going to be a busy person.
Yeah, I'm chuffed about it, though. It's awesome.
Mm.
I talk twice on the Friday. So I'm part of a panel that talks about his music, which is nice. Yeah. And then later in the afternoon, I'm talking about a musical project that I was part of, which was doing some covers and mashups.
Right.
And working with, you know, the fan communities to sort of contribute back to the culture.
Mm.
And then the third talk isn't actually at the symposium. It's part of a free thing that's happening on the Sunday. Public talks, I think, at midday. Yeah. That's all I know about it. But it's on the website as well. And that's more just sort of less intellectual and a little bit more public facing, but still talking about his creativities and his music.
Mm. So obviously your background is music and you're a fully trained musician, composer as well.
Yeah. I compose sort of, you know, experimental art music with a label in London, but I also do, you know, jobs for money. So I do film scores, mostly horror films that you haven't heard of. B-horror movies. The Scottish film called The Redwood Massacre, Attack of the Herbs. I mean, you know.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
They sound fascinating.
Fascinating's a nice word.
No, I'm a horror geek, so
Well, I'm very much involved in this niche area of Aberdeenshire horror. But as I say, yes, just for, you know, to help pay the bills. But I also now, these days, I lecture full-time in music at Kingston University in London.
Sounds good.
It is good.
Good lifestyle. And you get to travel to lovely places like Melbourne.
It is lovely. I was told it was freezing. So I was scared. They said 4 degrees. I was so scared. And then I got off the plane and I was like, this is no problem at all.
Spring in London, isn't it? Almost. Oh, excellent. All right. Well, stick around for sure. We're on your second breakfast, talking a bit of music, a bit of Bowie, and with Leah Cardos. So if you've got any questions, let us know on air at joy.org.au, or you can SMS 0427JOY949. Yeah, don't do that. I don't want to see you cry. Don't cry, Peter Wilson. That's what he says. It's 19 minutes past 10 here on your second breakfast. 12 degrees. It is one more degree to go, and then I think that's it. But we have the lovely Leah Cardos in the studio here, and she was saying how warm and lovely it was when she got off the plane from England.
Lovely. Real nice.
It's not that cold, let's face it.
No, it's not that cold. I quite enjoy seeing everybody walk down the street, though, dressed up as Eskimos. I think that's really cute.
Oh, right, with their puffy jackets.
Yeah.
Waddling along. That's right, penguin season or something. So, yes, you're going to be part of the symposium that's happening here, the Stardom and Celebrity of David Bowie at ACMI, having lots of talks and things. And I was going to ask you, yes, of course, when it comes to Bowie's music, if you had to choose, it's not easy, but what piece of music or song would you say, look, is significant to yourself? What would the song or piece of music be?
Well, my favourite album is Scary Monsters from 1980.
Okay.
And my favourite song from that album, which I love all the songs on, is Teenage Wildlife.
Okay.
Which is this sort of doo-wop inspired epic about, you know, fame and you know, tragic youth and people being taken advantage of, and him being an elder person looking down at the trajectory of someone else's life. And it's sort of it has this kind of vibe of you know, someone in their 30s sort of feeling a certain way about their life and looking at other people and, you know, wondering if they can offer advice. And it's got all these lovely ideas in it, plus it's got some disses to Gary Numan in there. So I thought, you know, that song really speaks to me, and his voice is just histrionic, mental. He sort of sounds like he's having a breakdown during it, which I really like.
Maybe he
as
was
well.
I don't know. When did that come out? 1980, wasn't
1980, yeah.
So he was in his 30s. I think he was 32 at that point.
Yeah, and, you know, he'd just come off the back of the Berlin triptych. Mm-hmm. And I think while he was away in Europe recording that, you know, his fans had gone and started a new scene in London, this new romantic thing, the Blitz Club and all that.
Right,
and, you know,
he
comes back after Lodger, not feeling 100% good about how it sounds. You know, it's not mixed as good as music sounding at that time, and feeling a little bit on the back foot, a little bit
threatened.
It
wasn't a big hit, was it, either?
No.
I don't think any of the trilogy, apart from Heroes, out of those three did in Berlin. They weren't huge successes for the studios, you know.
Yeah, and I've spoken to a few like older fans who were around at the time, and they, you know, they were a little bit, you know, looking other places for their fix. You know, they were starting to wander. So when he came back with Scary Monsters, it was such a bullseye in terms of, you know, the zeitgeist and the sound of it, and just sort of really just taking that thing that had happened while he was away by his fans, essentially, and kind of just owning it and you know, exerting himself.
It's interesting, because let's face it, not Let's Dance, but let's face it, Ashes to Ashes, the breakaway track on it, is incredible. And so ready for the MTV generation with the video and the Harlequin clown, and it's like, it's the weirdest thing. What's with the bulldozers? Anyway, if you've seen the video, you know what I mean.
But. Yeah, it's perfect. I think the way it sounds as well. I mean, Tony Visconti's production.
Beautiful, isn't it?
I mean, for a long time, it could have been made yesterday. It just sounds so fresh. And so
that piano?
Yeah.
I mean, that melody, is that what you call it? That's just...
That synth line.
Yeah,
but
very
even
strong.
Throughout the whole album, it just sounds really muscular and really assured, and it's got some magic to it, and I just think it's a staggering piece of work, and so that's my favourite, and Teenage Wildlife really sort of touches me, because I'm in my mid-30s, you know, I can kind of identify with that kind of angst, I think.
And Bowie and angst, they go together, but Bowie and glam, Bowie and, you know, the fascinating creature that he is, and he's so many times interpreted himself differently, or people see him in different ways, and it was interesting chatting to people yesterday in and around the exhibition as it was the media call. Just everyone has a different idea of who he is, and it's actually really about themselves, I guess.
Right?
Don't you reckon? That's
And
does it to you?
Yeah, a lot of fans kind of project themselves, you know, into the Bowie planet and the Bowie world, and contextualize it that way. But also, he invites multiple readings. Like, if you go into the exhibition, there might be a sign, there was in London, that, you know, has that quote, you know, art is unstable, you know, there's only multiple readings of it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the wonderful thing. That's why the symposium is going to be awesome fun for everybody, because we all can read it and we can all contextualize it. He gives us so much stuff to play with.
It's certainly going to be a fan fest, or fan feast, I should say.
Both of those things.
Exactly. So we'll be munching down on that over the next few days, and the public tour. And good luck, because you're not hanging around Melbourne very long.
No, I'm leaving on Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday afternoon.
Back to Brizzy?
Yeah, back
to
Brisbane.
Talk Brisbaneish?
I'm going to work on my accent, see if I can Oz up a little bit.
You know, you'll go back to England and you'll probably, you know, sound Australian again or something.
Yeah,
bet
I hope
you
so.
They'll say that. Do you miss it? Will you come back, or is there just not enough work?
Australia.
Yeah,
I do. I do miss it. I miss how friendly the people are, and I miss the culture. It's hard to describe, but there's something a little bit easier about here.
Less
doesn't
stress.
Feel like we're too sort of tied up by politeness and too sort of double thinking everything. Yeah, I do miss it. It's purely just work opportunities in London. My career, sort of, you know, I have a network. People sort of are aware of what I do. The last time I was really living in Australia, I was a student, penniless, and not doing anything at all. So. It is difficult once you start to sort of transport that.
I'll keep going. And how can people find your work and what you do online?
I have a website which is, you know, has a little bit of everything I do, which is leahcardos.com, which has links to my albums, my music, classical stuff, musicology stuff.
Cool.
I've got a blog. I've also got music that you can find on iTunes and Amazon and places like that too. And those horror movies that I mentioned earlier, if you want to check those out.
Oh, we will.
They're somewhere to be found as well.
Yeah, they're up there. All right. Yeah. You never know. What happens if one of them becomes a big hit?
Oh, I'll be
and
quite...
that's it. You.
I really don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, I'll be really happy.
Exactly. Take the hatchet out. You never
that's
know.
That's right.
That's it. Oh, look, thanks so much for coming in and speaking to us on Second Breakfast this morning.
Thanks
Joy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excellent. And good luck with the weekend. And a safe journey to Brizzy, and take some sunshine back to England. Although it's summer there now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's summer there now.
It's about the
same as here right now. It's no different.
Thanks very much for speaking to us.
Cheers.
I'm Leah Cardos. So this is Sonia, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to the special podcast about David Bowie.
It included many of the folks who were at HDMI and the David Bowie Is forums and exhibitions held only in Melbourne until November 1st, 2015. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We'll have more podcasts to come. Thank you for listening to the special David Bowie presentation by Joy 94.9. Interviews helmed by Sonia Hammer from Sci-Fi and Squeen and Queer Geeks of Oz and Geek Girls Speak and Lauren Stardust herself. Interviews by Sonia Hammer and Lauren Stardust for Joy 94.9. We hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.